And we'll just pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a double-edged sword, Lord, that it can pierce our hearts. And today we pray that you would challenge us. Lord, where our wills are out of line with yours, Lord, would you bring us back? Lord, speak to us through your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if I asked you, would you like to be richer than you are, what your answer would be? I would say most of us could definitely find some way to spend some extra money. But it turns out that 70% of the UK's over 18s want to be richer. How do I know that? Because that's the percentage of people who regularly buy a lottery ticket. They want to be in for a windfall. That's equivalent, 70% is equivalent to 32 million people playing lottery on a regular basis. And so here's the reality. Our society and our culture is filled with people who want to be richer, people who want to get rich, and will do anything that they can in order to achieve that. And you know that old saying, no matter how much money you have, you can't take it with you. But did you know there are actually some cultures and some communities that do believe you can take it with you? And in some parts of the Chinese community, when people die, they insist that gold and silver coins are put inside their coffin, just in case they might need to pay a fee on their way to heaven. In the passage that we're looking at this morning, Jesus basically tells us that is foolishness. It is foolishness to live our lives trying to store up money and wealth and power here on earth without laying up treasures in heaven. And I wonder, when you hear the word treasure, what comes to mind for you? What do you picture when I say the word treasure? I wonder, do you picture a big old wooden chest filled with gold and silver, maybe chalices and jewels? The kind of chest you might see in a pirate movie, where it's buried and there's maps made to it. That's where the treasure is hidden. Or maybe when you hear the word treasure, we imagine flashy cars and palatial homes, great cruises and financial security. Or maybe your treasure is family heirlooms, maybe paintings or jewellery. But when we hear the word treasure, how many of us imagine a holy, simple, gentle life that seeks nothing but love? It hoards nothing but prayers, and it points always to God. Do you imagine that when I say the word treasure? Do you imagine a simple life like that? Well, the passage we're looking at this morning from Luke 12 comes a little bit, but just shortly after the passage that we looked at last week, that Gareth helped us to look at, the parable of the rich fool. And Jesus was talking about the same idea then. He was rebuking those who were building up their wealth and trying to store it up. And so Jesus continues today. He warns his disciples and he warns us of the same thing, that it is foolish to store up wealth in this world. We're going to focus on just a couple of verses here this morning. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love those verses. I'm sure most of you will have learned them, maybe as a memory verse at some point in childhood. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a beautiful verse and it sounds nice to say, but actually we can hang our priorities as Christians on those two verses that we've just heard. We can walk away with a godly perspective on kingdom living. Now, you folks will know, now that I've been here almost 2 years, you'll know that I love a good 3-point sermon. But this morning, there's just 1 point. because there's no other way to put this. We must treasure Jesus. He must be our treasure. What is Jesus talking about here when he tells us that we must sell our things and we must store treasure in heaven? He tells us to put treasure where thieves cannot attack it and where moths cannot destroy it. And so we know that he must be talking about a place that's far away from here, because if we were to store treasure here, there's always risk that it could be stolen by a thief. So what Jesus is talking about is somewhere slightly out of reach, somewhere out of our everyday life. And I would guess that most of us here will know that what Jesus is talking about is heaven. He wants us to store up treasure in heaven. And yet he tells us in verse 33 that kingdom living has just as much to do with how we live our lives now, how we spend our money now. That has just as much to do with it as what our life will look like in heaven. What we do with our life now will impact eternity. Sometimes we try to separate the two. We think we'll just live our life now, and then when it comes to eternity, we'll get to start over. But the two are very much linked. And so Jesus gives us a couple of instructions here to help us prepare ourselves. So I just want to read them out, and I wonder how you respond to each of these. Is this how you live, or is God challenging you today? We'll start with the really hard one. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Get ready to store up what is really important. And get ready to store up something even better than silver and gold. As I've been reading this, I've been challenged to think about what eternity will look like when we've stored up treasure there. And you know, it's very possible for us to be poor in this world, as James chapter 2 puts it, and yet rich in the next world. And equally, it's possible for us to be rich in this world and poor in the next world. The reality is the return of Jesus Christ will make some people poor and some people rich, depending on the spiritual condition of our hearts. John Piper warns us like this: sell the treasure that will not last and seek the treasure that will not fail. Sell the treasure that will not last and seek the treasure that will not fail. As we come to this passage this morning, particularly these couple of verses, it's a real danger for us to read this and think the only way to store up treasures in heaven is by giving away money, being a generous person. And there is definitely an element of truth to that. And we see it emphasized throughout the Bible when Jesus encourages his followers to sell their possessions and give to the needy. That's what he says here in verse 33. But also a little bit later on in Luke, when Jesus asks people to give away to those who cannot repay them. Find that in Luke 14. And in those two examples, Jesus references treasure in heaven. So there is an element of, as we give away our worldly belongings to those who need them, we will be rewarded. But storing up treasures in heaven is not just about giving to the local church, about charity, about giving those to those in need. Because this is not a business transaction. We're not doing a deal with God where we get more treasures the more money we give away. It's not that God owes us money when we give away our money here. It's not how it works. God is not writing an IOU every time we hand away money. But Jesus is very clear that our treasure is based on what consumes our hearts, what we live for. And so our rewards, our treasure in heaven, is won by our living and our loving like Jesus, by our devotion to Jesus, and by our building his kingdom on earth. Those are the things we will be rewarded for. Our building efforts here on earth will be reflected in eternity. So we store up treasure in heaven, yes, when we give, but also when we pray and we fast in private to grow our relationship with God, we are rewarded for that. When we forgive someone, we're rewarded for that. When we share the gospel with friends and strangers, we are rewarded for that. When we love our enemies and enemies of God. When we endure insults and persecutions for being a Christian, we will be rewarded. I wonder what you picture treasure to look like in heaven. Do you imagine a kind of pile of coins or a pile of gold waiting for you in some corner of heaven? I don't think that's what it'll be like. Because when it comes to rewards for us as Christians, there is no greater treasure than seeing God face to face. There will be no greater reward than getting to see our Saviour as he is. And I so long for that day when I will lock eyes with Jesus. When I will look him in the face and he will look me in the face. And there won't be a greater moment on this earth or in eternity. There's no greater moment for a Christian than to meet their Saviour face to face. And so I want to ask you, in your desire to follow Christ, in your Christian life, do you live your life for him because he might reward you someday with treasure? Or do you live for him because you love him and because you long to be with him? Because that, by far, is the greater treasure. And that question really gets to the heart of what Jesus is talking about here. And it leads us to our final question. And I want you to ask yourself this in all seriousness and in real depth. Do you treasure Jesus? Is Jesus the greatest thing in your life? Or is there something else? Is there something else that consumes your thoughts? Jesus is like an experienced doctor who with one look at us can diagnose what's going on with us. And he knows that our struggle as humans is an issue of the heart. It's what wins our hearts. It's not what we do or don't do, but it's actually how we feel in our hearts, what we treasure in our hearts. And so Jesus connects the two ideas here. When he tells us to stop laying up earthly treasures and to store up treasures in heaven, he connects those two to our state of heart. He knows that what we value is reflected in how we live. That's true, isn't it? It's not really very hard to tell what we treasure most. On the one hand, when your heart's greatest desire is the world, you'll be committed to earthly treasure. You'll be committed to earning and storing up money. On the other hand, when Jesus is your treasure, you'll devote your life to his glory and for the good of others. You'll devote your life to his gospel and his kingdom. And here's the reality. As a church, we can put on masks, can't we? And sometimes we do that and we put on a mask so that people might perceive that we are spiritual or we're godly. And in reality, in the depths of our hearts and in our private life, we struggle. We struggle with fear and we struggle with temptation and we desire things that are not of the kingdom. We desire money and we desire power. We desire authority and we desire praise. And in this passage, Jesus directly addresses the heart. He asks us, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure this morning? When it comes to you, what do you value most? What do you treasure most? What is it reflected in your life? This week, some of you will know that I had the privilege of conducting the funeral of Edie Connor, a member of this church, for an incredible 70 years. And when I come to a funeral, there's a process for me as I think about what I'll say at a funeral. And so I meet with the family, whether I know the person well or not well at all, I meet with the family and I'll ask them to share some stories. Tell me a little bit about the person's character. Tell me some of your favourite memories. Give me some funny moments. Tell me the things that this person has gone through. And so I take a note of those things and I go home and I reflect and I pray and I ask myself the question, what was central to this person's life? And that's the thing that I'll want to bring out at a funeral, what it was that was central to a person, what mattered most. And I was so privileged to be able to stand here and to say before a packed cathedral that central to Edie's life was Jesus. But I ask myself the question sometimes, what will they say at my funeral? When my life comes to an end, what will they say mattered most to me? And so if someone was to look at your life today, what do you think they would say about what you value and about what you treasure? Is it something of the earth? Did you seek after your business? Did you seek after your popularity? Did you seek after money? Or did you seek after Jesus? This week I've been listening quite a few times to a song called Christ Is Mine Forevermore. It's a really beautiful modern worship song, and I've been listening to it quite a few times. And I want to share with you some words from that song, and I really hope and pray that these are the words that sum up my life in the end. Listen to these words. Mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the King I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. There my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a world where we are consumed by more, by getting more, by having more, by saving more, by storing more. And Lord, sometimes we take our eyes off you and off your kingdom and we look at the things of the world. Lord, we pray that today you would challenge us. Lord, that you would ask us the question deep in our hearts, where is your treasure? And Lord, we want you to be our treasure, our first and only treasure. So Lord, stir in our hearts today and challenge us as we meet you through this word, through prayer, and at your table. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.